Hello and welcome to Hindsight here on RN. I'm Lorena Allen. Today's story is about the importance of names to the historical record, but it's also about the clash between history and development, and it's set right in the heart of Sydney. Millions of people come to Sydney to walk the harbour foreshore and wander around the historical precinct of the Rocks. Well, it's the strip of waterfront land around the corner from the Rocks that we're visiting today. In fact, the two adjoining suburbs, both heritage listed, both small. Dawes Point is the strip of land underneath the Harbour Bridge, and Millers Point is next door to that. They're two of the oldest places in Sydney. Along the waterfront between the two points runs Hickson Road, through an area people colloquially call Walsh Bay. Walsh Bay once held the working wharves of Sydney, and the working wharfies lived in Millers and Dawes Point. But since its redevelopment in the late 1990s, Walsh Bay has been an arts and cultural hub in the CBD. It's home to the Sydney Theatre Company, Bangara, Sydney Dance Company. It's the site of the annual Writers Festival. There are cafes, restaurants and multi-million dollar waterfront residences. Their commercial arm, the Walsh Bay Precinct Association, says the area is struggling to attract visitor numbers and survive economically. The solution, it says, is to take Walsh Bay out of Dawes and Millers Point and make it a suburb in its own right. But the residents of Millers Point and Dawes Point disagree. They say a new suburb would sever their community from its 200-year connection to the waterfront. So, what's in a name? Historians, residents and business owners in one of Sydney's oldest colonial precincts have their say.
My name's Lisa Murray and I'm the City Historian at the City of Sydney Council. Millers Point actually dates right back to Jack the Miller Layton, who was established in the area and basically set up some windmills. And so it dates from about 1831, and it was used as early as 1825, actually, in the Sydney Gazette, and on maps from at least 1831. So it's been in use for at least 187 years, the name Millers Point.
And Dawes Point, does that begin at the same time?
Dawes Point is actually even earlier, because it's connected with Lieutenant William Dawes, who was an officer in the First Fleet, who came along and built an observatory down on the point, and also built batteries, Dawes Battery. Its earlier name was actually Governor Hunter, at Dawes's request, named it Maskelyne Point after Dawes's patron in astronomy. But so many people were using, "Oh, I'm just going around to Dawes's Point," apostrophe S, it became commonly used, and so that's been in use for over 200 years.
So that these names date back to pretty much the beginning of settlement
in
Australia.
Yes, that's right.
I'm Shirley Fitzgerald and I'm a historian, and we're sitting at Wharf 89 at Walsh Bay.
It's a beautiful sunny day. There's lots of people out here in the cafe, so you'll hear background noise. You'll also hear probably some construction and aircraft noise as well, because it's a very busy spot. But this place has got a long history, Shirley. How long has Walsh Bay been here?
Walsh Bay was named in the early 20th century, at the time that the state government resumed a whole lot of land here and built all the great red brick shore sheds that we can see, and all the large finger wharves out into the bay. And the bureaucrat who was in charge of that was Mr. Walsh, so the bay was then named Walsh Bay.
But that was quite a time after Millers Point and Dawes Point were established. Is that correct?
Millers Point has an enormous importance to telling the industrial history of Sydney, because once the crowded circular quay became too small for the shipping of Sydney and the colony of New South Wales, increasingly ships came around to Millers Point, where there already were boat builders and small outfits. So by the 1830s, we're starting to get quite large warehouses here, such as the wonderful old sandstone Moores Wharf. And by the 1860s, it was a thriving maritime community of sailors and offshore men and onshore men and warehouse men and coal dumpers and all the people that you needed to keep the heartland of the shipping trade of Sydney and of New South Wales going.
Yes, my name is Bruce Baskerville and I'm president of the Professional Historians Association New South Wales, but I'm really representing myself here today just as a public historian who has an interest in place names and place name histories. Ferry Lane in Walsh Bay or Miller's Point, I think it's probably on the border, is a place where the first outbreak of the plague happened in 1900. The plague, a bubonic plague, then spread around the port parts of Sydney, and the state government basically resumed all the waterfront properties around there and went through a long process over about 20 years of demolishing quite a lot of the building stock and building new ones. And so they took this opportunity to give Sydney a much deeper water port.
It sounds like Walsh Bay has always been connected to Miller's and Dawes Point by virtue of not just geography but by function as well.
That's so right. The wharf has been connected to, and the bay connected to, Miller's Point and Dawes Point. The communities that were established in those areas worked down on the wharves. There are stairs leading down to the wharfage area, and there's a strong connection. You cannot really have one without the other. And their meanings and their heritage has been recognised to have been connected. The listings on the State Heritage Register for Miller's Point, for Dawes Point and for Walsh Bay wharves all recognise that even though they have separate listings, that they are in fact integrated and they cannot be thought about one without the other.
So as a historian then, as the city historian, what does it mean for the significance, the historical significance of Walsh Bay to take it out of that history?
It's really important for us to keep these communities together and to keep the connections of the names. Walsh Bay really has a lesser meaning unless it is included as part of Miller's Point. And certainly in my research that I've done, it seems to me that we'll have a diminishing of the history and the heritage significance if we create separations between these places. And it will mean that Miller's Point, for instance, would actually be severed from the harbour areas which have been part of the community for over 200 years. So it would also metaphorically, I think, sever a lot of the historical ties and undermine the social significance which the community sees.
My name is John McInerney and I'm chair of the Resident Action Group. That's the Miller's Point, Dawes Point and Walsh Bay Resident Action Group.
I'm Mary Sutton and I'm the chair of the Miller's Point Owners Association.
We have a high number of people in social housing because the bulk of the housing now remaining was actually built as part of the development of the Walsh Bay area for the wool and the wheat trade. And they built, in fact, demolished a lot of old houses and then rebuilt them for housing for the workers. Very advanced thinking in those days. So that, in a sense, it was self-serving in that they could get their workforce right next door. So the community has a lot of descendants of that group of workers. There are no wool or wheat workers anymore, but we have families here who go back to those workers, and they were in the original housing. So the community is quite mixed, from social housing to some low-income housing to others who bought in, who've bought leases of a higher income level because you needed a little bit more money to be able to do these houses up or restore them to their working order. And that's the sort of mix that we like, and we'd like to keep it that way, actually.
Miller's Point and Dawes Point are under pressure on a number of fronts, and I'm wondering if the two of you could outline the other pressures and where they're coming from.
Well, certainly Miller's Point itself was larger in 2007 when the suburb Barangaroo was created. Barangaroo is a $6 billion financial and tourism development being promoted by the state government. And so if the local people feel they've already lost a portion of their suburb, however, that can have its benefits. A lot of people are very happy with the fact there'll be a large park. So we're not against progress. We love progress. We just like to recognise that we are also at the centre of something which is iconic in that we are able to trace our suburb back to the landings of the First Fleet. And it's that connection that we want to keep. We want to keep and evolve with Walsh Bay, but not be separate.
My name is Luke Meads and I'm the Precinct Manager of the Walsh Bay Precinct Association.
And so who is in the Walsh Bay Precinct Association? Who do you represent?
The Walsh Bay Precinct Association was established about 10 years ago now in 2003, and that's as part of the requirement of the original planning consent. All the landowners in the precinct must be members, and that represents 33 members, including body corporates of the commercial, retail and residential strata plans, freehold property owners, arts organisations such as Sydney Theatre, and state government departments such as Arts New South Wales and RMS, which was previously the New South Wales Maritime.
And so the Precinct Association must have at some point decided to undertake the campaign to make Walsh Bay a separate suburb. What was the reasoning behind it? What prompted the decision?
The association recognised that the commercial and retail businesses in the precinct were struggling. Many of the retail premises have just never been leased, and some still remain vacant today. Businesses and residents were experiencing difficulties receiving mail, connecting utilities, booking taxis and couriers. Businesses were receiving complaints from customers who couldn't find Walsh Bay. Theatregoers were complaining about difficulty getting to venues. There have also been instances where emergency services cannot locate Walsh Bay on their computer systems. For example, Sydney Theatre has two venues. One is in Millers Point, the other is in Dawes Point, and they're 200 metres apart from each other across
the
road.
Okay, so hang on. So there's Sydney Theatre, there's the Wharf Theatre on this side where we are, and the Sydney Theatre Company on the other side of Hickson Road. Are they in actually separate suburbs?
The one on the Wharf is in Dawes Point, and the one on Hickson Road is in Millers Point.
Right.
Both are promoted as Walsh Bay and have been since the mid-80s, and people call a taxi to go to the theatre and the taxi can't find Walsh Bay in their system.
And I find that that would be interesting because there is only one Hickson Road. So what, and it's Hickson Road Dawes Point and Hickson Road Millers Point, but there's only one. It is difficult to understand how one wouldn't be able to. The only other Hickson Road would be Barangaroo, so it's Hickson Road Barangaroo.
Right, but there's no other Hickson Road in Sydney.
No, none in New South Wales.
The history and heritage of this area are absolute essential elements of the identity of Walsh Bay. The heritage includes the connection with the neighbouring suburbs of Millers Point and Dawes Point and the Rocks. And this is evident when you look at our website. We've got a whole section dedicated to the history of these areas and the important people that created them. Officially naming the area with the name that has been known for 100 years will cause no loss of history, no physical break between the suburbs, nor will it cause a loss of connectivity between Walsh Bay, Millers Point and Dawes Point in any way whatsoever. Millers Point and Dawes Point were only recognised as suburbs in 1993, and prior to that they were part of the Rocks. This proposal is exactly the same, seeking to officially label the area with a name by which it was known by local residents and workers for 100 years.
Well, in the 1970s, there was a sort of a movement to pretend that Millers Point was part of the Rocks because people who didn't understand the history, didn't understand how separately those two communities had grown up, said, oh, this is probably, we could call this the Rocks because that's a known name, people, tourists recognise that. So there was a movement to change the name of the Millers Point Post Office to the Rocks Post Office. That was fought by the residents. There was an effort by the bus authority to change the destination on the buses that come into the Argyle Place as the Rocks, and it's not the Rocks, it's Millers Point. Anybody who had an inkling of an understanding of the past history of those two communities. You know, I remember when I did a history of Millers Point, I interviewed an old lady and she was talking to me about her granddaughter and she said, oh, she got married last week. This is in Millers Point. And I said, did she marry a local boy? And the answer was no, she married a boy from the Rocks. So there was a very, very strong sense of the community of Millers Point as separate and different.
I think names are really important because they are signposts for us. They're not just about a place and finding our way to a place. They're also, I guess, signposts to our past and a signpost to our history. So when we see a name, it might signify, often they're associated with people, so they should trigger us to say, oh, who is that person? Why are they connected to this place? And names can also be associated with previous, I guess, movements or ideas. They might signify somewhere that's disappeared. So we don't want to just wipe them off the map. We need to ask, what do these names mean? Why are they important? What do they say about our history?
We went recently to a meeting and it was explained to us that the trade in the rocks is about 18 million people, but only 1.8 million people come through to Walsh Bay, and that the commercial success of Walsh Bay depends on passing trade. And what we had suggested was, rather than change the name of the suburb, which we felt wouldn't put one more seat on a cafe seat or a Sydney Theatre Company showing, that in fact more signage, more festivals, perhaps a business plan from Walsh Bay that showed how they would integrate themselves, and something that called a cultural ribbon, which is a fabulous idea, saying that the cultural ribbon in Sydney goes from the Opera House around the water through Walsh Bay to Barangaroo. We see that linkage as something that could be made more steadfast, I guess.
Due to the continuing argument on this issue, that some of the people in Miller's Point, I think, are getting to the stage of thinking that it's simply a matter of property values, and I've heard statements like, those people don't want to know us, we being the social housing people of Miller's Point. And I'm sorry to say that, because what that's doing is creating a real divider in our community, and I think unnecessarily. In fact, I'm beginning to think the whole question is an unnecessary divider in our community, and I'm a little upset about the fact that we've got to this stage, actually.
In terms of the businesses that have been empty since the place was redeveloped, what options has the Precinct Association explored, other than changing the name, to attract business to the area?
We've had festivals, we have websites, we promote public events such as Vivid, Sydney Writers Festival, the Biennale. The businesses themselves obviously have their own campaigns. They're all promoting the location of Walsh Bay and the beautiful harbourside suburb within the CBD. There's a lot of investment from the businesses in promoting and branding of Walsh Bay.
People up the hill from here, the Millers Point residents, and I have spoken to them, really believe that the residents and the businesses of Walsh Bay want to get away from them and their public housing reputation. Is that what's behind this campaign?
The residents and the businesses of Walsh Bay strongly support the Millers Point, Dawes Point communities. We regularly donate to local charities, including the Millers Point Youth Partnership and the Darling House Aged Care Facility. We actively promote the activities of the KGV Centre. We every year donate Christmas presents to the local underprivileged children in the area. There is no ends of efforts by the Walsh Bay community to develop a close relationship with the Millers Point and Dawes Point communities.
So this is more about establishing an identity, a business identity that can be marketed to tourists.
That's right, and to give an identity to what is going to become a very important cultural hub within the CBD.
I look at place names as historical records that we can interrogate and research, just like any other record. They can reveal the intentions of the place namers and the people who have made the place over time. What did they want to do? And often in the name itself is an indication of what they intended. And they have them for a long time, which is one reason why it's very emotional. This can often be seen where people will propose to change a name, and one of the reactions to that will be a denigration of those who propose to change it. So, look, it's just about real estate values, you know. It is actually contesting the metaphor that people are presenting. Is this about a place where fishing and industrial things used to happen, or is it a place where the real estate values are rising and we all have waterfront views? It's embedded in the name. The name has meanings. It's much more than a label. I think it's important that we understand these.
What advantages are there for Walsh Bay as a cultural precinct in engaging with the social housing people up the hill?
Yes, well, there's a whole, from the very beginnings of settlement through the labour strikes of the 1930s, the major seaside activities, the wharfies, the gold period, the wool, everything that's happened in Australia begins and ends here in many ways. The hall across the road there is now called the Abraham Mott Hall, but it was originally called the Coal Lumpers Hall, and it was built for the Coal Lumpers Union, and that hall was used to provide food for their families when they went on the big strike in 1930. I mean, these are the sort of stories. Perhaps that doesn't go with increasing the property values of Walsh Bay, but it certainly goes in terms of cultural importance and the connection or the benefits that I think Walsh Bay could have by linking into what is the historical heart of Australia.
Having spoken to the residents' action groups in Millers and Dawes Point, they have a very strong view about what should happen. And it sounds like you have a very strong view about what should happen. Is there a compromise? Is there any middle ground that can be reached here, do you think?
In one word, no. The precinct has investigated the options thoroughly in conjunction with council staff since 2009. Nothing else makes sense and works. Only a suburb status officially recognised by the Geographical Name Board flows onto Australia Post and therefore onto other government agencies, utility and service providers, GPS and internet booking systems. Most importantly, only a suburb status is recognised by the emergency services such as the ambulance and water police. And while the officers themselves may know where Walsh Bay is because they come down here for a coffee, the operators answering the phones cannot identify Walsh Bay on their computer systems, and that's a real problem.
There are many places in Sydney that are listed by the Geographical Names Board as urban places. Wynyard's an urban place. King's Cross is an urban place. It's not a suburb. But nobody cares. Everybody knows where King's Cross is. Town Hall is an urban place. It's not a suburb, but it pinpoints, you know, where you are. Walsh Bay is a place. It hasn't been gazetted as such. It could be gazetted as such. And it's already recognised, I think, in a lot of people's minds. People know where Walsh Bay is. You know, I spoke to the postman here because they were saying, oh, nobody knows where to deliver letters. He said, what an insult to me. I've never misdelivered a letter to Walsh Bay in my life. And to suggest changing something which is essentially one street, Hickson Road, to a suburb is just so silly that I can't really get my head around why it is that anybody's taking it seriously. This doesn't alter the fact that Walsh Bay as an urban place it can be recognised and understood.
So I guess you won't stop. You're not going to give up this fight to keep Millers and Dawes Point's names intact.
Even recently we had a letter from the Heritage Council which strongly came down on our side and with statements saying that names should not be changed for reasons of fashion or expediency and marketing of a place following development under a new name and requesting formalisation of the new name for modern commercial or domestic convenience does not constitute a sound reason for changing a place name with long-term historical associations. So the most significant heritage body in the state is asking us to hang on to this name. What we are is partly what we were. When we lose touch with what we were, we actually lose touch with who we are. And who we are in Australia is terribly important. We haven't been here that long. We suffer from a sense of being new anyway, and we really haven't connected with the original inhabitants of this land in the way we should have. We haven't connected with the land. We're struggling to find our way, and at the same time we're sacrificing the bits and pieces of the past that give us our clues, that give us our positions in history. It's the recent history which is ours, and that's all we've got. If we get rid of it, then we get rid of part of ourselves.
Seems there are two wildly different opinions about what should happen. Is there a way to bring people together, which is actually what council are required to do?
It's a very vexing issue, and communities get very emotive about it, which is fair enough. It's about their connection to place. Can it be resolved? I don't know. I would like to think that it could be, but for me, we need to make people aware of the history of the place and to respect the different communities. It may be an issue that will bubble along for years, but that's the way that communities work, and I'm sure some sort of resolution will come. Things might change with Barangaroo coming along, for example. How people interact and visit the place may change, and that may change the identities of all of the communities of Millers Point, of Walsh Bay. I think it's very much up in the air.
Sydney City historian Lisa Murray. You also heard John McInerney from the Millers Point Resident Action Group, Luke Meads from the Walsh Bay Precinct Association, Mary Sutton of the Millers Point Owners Association, and historians Bruce Baskerville and Shirley Fitzgerald. At a recent Sydney City Council meeting, the Lord Mayor said that the Walsh Bay Precinct Association had agreed to defer its request for a name change while it continues its advocacy on the issue.